We're on page 688 in the Song Chumashim. We are on Perek Chav Gimel. We got to Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Okay, last week we were talking. What? What's the problem? No, page 6, Perek Chav Gimel. Pasuk Lamed Zayin on page 688. Three lines in the top of 688. Last time we were speaking about, 2 weeks ago we were speaking about Yom Kippur. Last week we were speaking about all about Sukkos. Remember, at great length. And basically we learned the first day is Yom Tov, the eighth day is Yom Tov. We discussed the whole concept of Shemini Atzeres. Okay? But here it says like this. Ela Ma'edei Hashem. These are the Chagim of Hashem. Asher Tikru Eisa Mikroi Kedesh. That you should call them a holy Yom Tov. Lahakriv isha l'Hashem. What is the purpose of the Yom Tov? To bring a sacrifice to Hashem, ola a burnt offering, umincha meal offering, mean a flour offering, zavach unesachim a feast offering. Unesachim is the wine that they poured on the mizbeach. Dvar yom v'yom every day. The Torah now is discussing. After the Torah says that Sukkot is a Yom Tov for 7 days, and the eighth day is Shmini Atzeres, so the Torah says, what is the Yom Tov? What is the Chag? That every day you bring various korbanot. Okay? Now there was the daily korbanot they had in the Beis HaMikdash, then they had the additional ones for Yom Tov, which were the public korbanot. Then they had the private korbanot, the private sacrifices that everybody brought when they came three times a year to the Beit HaMikdash. They had to bring their own private korbanot. Melvat Shabsei Hashem, in addition, in other words, this is an addition to the Musaf carbon that they brought every Shabbos. El Milvad Matneisechem, besides from your gifts. Because like we said, when the people came up to the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says, you're not allowed to see my face empty. Lo yiro panay reikum, later on in Dvarim. So it says, a Jew had to bring gifts to Hashem. Not that Hashem needs our gifts, but we need to know that we need to bring Hashem gifts. I mean, that's the concept. Umilvad kol nidreichem, in addition to all your vows, umilvad kol nidveisechem, and all your free will sacrifices, asher titnu l'Hashem, that you have to give to Hashem. So here the Torah is speaking, and then we're soon going to see a break in it. But here the Torah is speaking, what is the Yom Tov all about? You have to bring korbanos, besides the public korbanos, in addition to the regular korbanos, beside what you yourself bring, everything has to be brought, okay? Now we learned already, by what, just one thing by the way, in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, what is this, New York? Chicago? Oh gosh. What? Let me tell you a rule in my house. They all have a vote, but if it's five people voting, I have 6 votes. You can close the door. One door I'll give in. Moda b'miksas. Now in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, it says again, we learned the Pasuk before, similar Pasuk, but it says, Asher tikru osam. Now normally in Hebrew, osam is spelled with a vav. Aleph, vav, saf, mem. Here again it's without a vav. We learned that Pasuk, Elamad Hashem tikrasim mikrei kredish. But here, it's again without a vav, because like we learned, tikru atem, bezdin calls the Yom Tov, not up to Hashem, but then calls the Yom Tov Atem, they're the ones that call it. Okay, now, what's the difference between Nidreichem and Nidveisechem? Okay, so the Gemara says like this, Neder is if a person says, Harai, Harai, Olai, Ola. Nidava means, Harai, Zu, Ola. What's the difference? I'll explain. Harai, Olai, Ola means, a person says, makes a vow, I promise to bring a sacrifice, a korban. Okay? Nedava means a person says, this animal is a korban. This animal is a korban. Nedarim means the person says, I have to bring a korban. So therefore, what's the difference? A very simple difference. If a person makes a vow, I will bring a korban, and then he takes a korban, on the way to Beit HaMikdash, the animal dies. He has to bring another one. But if a guy says, this animal is a korban, and going to the Beis HaMikdash dies, he does not have to bring another one. Because he said, this is a korban. When he says, I have to bring a korban, so there's no particular animal. Until he brings a korban, he didn't fulfill his obligation. So neder is when a person says, Hare Allah, the neder, the vow is upon me to bring a korban. Nedava, the person says, this is it. So this, the Torah says, whatever, because the din was, if somebody made a vow to bring a korban, they had to bring it when they went up to the Beit HaMikdash and the Chagim. They didn't have to run right away to the Beis HaMikdash. When they went to the Beis HaMikdash for the Yom Tov, for the Chag, they had to bring it. So the Torah says, what is the Yom Tov of Sukkot about? You have to bring the regular korbanos, plus the extra korbanos, besides the Shabbos korbanos, besides what you give as a gift, whatever, that all has to be brought. Okay, this is part one of Sukkot. Now the Torah says like this, Ach, but, B'chamisha asar yom l'chedesh ha-shvi, on the 15th day of the 7th month, it is a very strange pasuk. We just learned in pasuk Abayis, the Torah says the same thing. 15th day of Tishrei is Sukkot. Here the Torah says it again. Ach, b'chamisha asar yom l'chedesh ha-shvi, okay, but in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you gather the grain says Sukkot is the time of gathering it into the house. You have to celebrate a Yom Tov for Hashem for 7 days. On the first day is a Yom Tov. On the 8th day is Yom Tov. So the commentators all ask, like, why in the world is the Torah going through this again? Okay? Why is the Torah going through this again? And also, what is this meaning of the word ach, but? Okay? So, simply it means, the Torah separates the laws of Pesach, this is what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. The Torah separates the laws of Sukkot into two parts. One represents the holiness of the Chag by bringing a korban. And this represents the mitzvahs which are unique for Sukkot. Because the first part is really every Yom Tov. Pesach, you have to bring all these korbanos. Shavuos, you have to bring all these korbanos. So first the Torah is dividing by Sukkot as two unique things. One part of Sukkot is like every other Chag. You need to bring sacrifices. The second part of Sukkot, as we'll soon see, are the uniqueness of the Korbanos of Chag. Now, that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. Eben Ezra and Rashbam say, what does Ach mean? It says like this. Ach normally means it's different, but this is one din, but this is different. So the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra explain like this. The Torah before was speaking about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are days of judgment, fasting, seriousness, and so on. The Torah says, Ach, but, when it comes to Sukkot, it's different. Now it's Simcha. So this is the way they learn. Rabbeinu Bechaya explains, the Torah is dividing Ach to tell us, first part is a Korbanos like every Yom Tov, now we're going to go into the mitzvahs for Sukkot. They learn, Ach is not the differentiate between Sukkot itself, but to separate between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Those are days of serious. These are days of happiness. Now, this is a very interesting point, because in Kabbalah it says, in Chassidus, in Kabbalah it says, that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, the same things are accomplished. The difference is, this is through seriousness, and this is through Simcha. But the same things that you accomplish Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur through seriousness, you accomplish Sukkot through Simcha. And therefore we find a lot of connections between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Number one, to start with Rosh Hashanah, besides the fact that the same day of the week as Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, same day of the week, but there's another aspect also. What is the inyan of Rosh Hashanah? The main thing of Rosh Hashanah is Shofar. The Yom Tov Sukkot, the main thing is the Sukkah. What's the main part of the sukkah? The schach. Okay? Now, it says that according to Kabbalah, you blow on shofar Rosh Hashanah, mea kolos, 100 sounds of the shofar. We blow 30 before Musaf, 30 during the quiet Shemoneh Esrei, 30 during the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, and 10 in the last Kaddish. Okay? So altogether, it equals 100. Now, if you take the 100 sounds of the shofar and divide it up into tkiya, shvarim, and trua, if you just add them up, there's 60 tkiyas, 20 shvarim, and 20 truas. Sama chav chav is chach. So just in the Rosh Hashanah blowing of the mea kolos of 60 tkiyas, 20 shvarim, 20 truas, you have the word chach. Another connection between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. What happened in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom Kippur? We learned the Kohen Gadol brings the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Chisa Anan Akteres, it became a cloud of the smoke from the incense from the Ketores. Right, that is like the Schach of the Sukkah. Smoke rises, right? So the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim, the pasuk says, "V'chisa anan akteiris," that the anan akteiris, which is one of the reasons we sit in the sukkah because of the anani hakovid, that anan, the cloud of smoke, is the same thing as sukkahs. So there's a tremendous connection between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and the concept of sukkahs. What's the difference, though? This you're accomplishing through seriousness. And this you're accomplishing through simcha. So the Torah says, ach, meaning, even though, because if they're really different, why do you need to say ach to separate? You have to separate between two things that are similar, and you need to separate. Right? So, because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sukkot accomplish the same things as Sukkot, the Torah has to say ach, but there's a difference. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is serious, Sukkot is simcha. But it's really the same inyan is accomplished in those days. So that's why the Torah says, ach b'chamisha asiyim l'chedish, when you celebrate Sukkot. Okay, now the Torah says like this. U'lekachtem l'chem b'yem arishin. We're going to learn a little bit, and then I want to discuss the whole concept of Sukkot. Last time we just discussed it one way. But the whole concept of Sukkot versus Lulav and Esrig. Okay? Now, Lekachtem Lachem B'yem HaRishon, this is a very famous pasuk. On the first day of Yom Tov, you should take for yourself Pri Eitz Hadar, a beautiful fruit, Kapis Tmarim, branches of a date palm, Anaf Eitz Oves, the twigs of a plaited tree, V'arvi Nochal, and what we call the Aravis, right? The willows. Smachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. This pasuk you can talk about for about 10, 20, 30 hours. I mean, as much as you want, you can talk about this pasuk. Now, first let's see the simple meaning of the pasuk. The Torah says, Pri Eitz Hadar, a beautiful fruit. So Chazal say, what does it mean? An esrig. Okay? But the question is, there's a lot of beautiful fruits. I mean, you can have some stunning fruits, you know, that are really nice. But the Gemara reads, don't read it hadar. The Gemara says, read it hadar. Hadar means what lives. And the Gemara says, what type of fruit is it? This is halacha l'mishum Sinai. What type of fruit are we talking about? A fruit that hadar bi'ilanei kol hashana kula. A fruit that lives in the tree a whole year. It's not seasonal. The Gemara says, what does that mean? That's the concept of an esrig. Okay? So the Torah says, you have to take on the first day. And by the way, the Torah says, interesting thing, ulakachtem lachem. By the way, you can take the whole Masechta Sukkah, with the lulav of an esrig, half of it at least, and put it into this pasuk. I mean, this pasuk teaches all the dinim. Number one, we know that you can't borrow somebody's esrig. lulav, in the four minim, right? You can't borrow somebody's lulav and esrik. Tefillin I could borrow. Somebody's talis I could borrow. You know, somebody's sukkah I could borrow. And we'll soon discuss what the difference is. By lulav and esrig, by the arba minim, the Torah says the expression of lakachtem lochem, it has to be yours. It cannot be borrowed. If it's borrowed, it's not yours. So lakachtem lochem means you need to own it. What happens if you don't own it? So the Gemara says, if somebody gives it to you as a gift, it's called a menas lahachzer with the intent, the condition of returning it, so then it's yours. But lulav ashol, you know, lulav and esrig which are borrowed, you're not yetzer the mitzvah. On the first day. Now, the mitzvah of lulav and esrig, min hatayra, is only by Yom HaRishon. Only the first day of Sukkot. That's it. The reason why we do it 7 days, we'll soon discuss. But the Gemara says. But the mitzvah of lulav and esrig min hatayra is only by Yom HaRishon. In the Beis HaMikdash, as we'll soon say, Usmachtem lefnei Hashem alokeichem shivas yomim. So the Gemara learns out like this. Lefnei Hashem alokeichem. Before God, meaning in the Beit HaMikdash. So then you have to do it 7 days. Lochem is Bayom HaRishon. So in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the Jews only did Lulav and Esrig the first day. That's it. In the Beit HaMikdash, they did it 7 days. But outside the Beit HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, Chevron, Tzvas, Tveri, whatever you want, 1 day. When the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made a takana, he made a decree, that now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, Zeicha LeMikdash, we're going to do it 7 days. But biblically, Lulav and Esrig is only as it turns out, Bayeim HaRishon. Only the Beis HaMikdash is the 7 days.
Saturday?
We don't do it. Right. Now, what? Rabbi Yechman Zaki did a number of things because we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash just to remind the Jews of the good old days when there was a Beis HaMikdash. That's it. Now, 1 second. Another thing I should have mentioned earlier. Pre-Eitz Hodor is a funny expression. Pre-Hodor. Well, pre-Eitz. So the Gemara learns that the fruit and the wood need the same taste. And that's an esrig. Don't ask me what it means. But the Gemara says the fruit and the wood taste the same. Secondly, Hodor means, like we said, Hador, that lives in the tree for the whole year. What do you mean?
So after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan made a decree to do it
seven days.
Before his decree, if Sukkot was on Shabbos, did we or did we not?
Didn't do at all?
The question was, when did the Zemachlekes in the Rishonim? The Gemara says we don't do Lulav and Shabbos because the Rabbah's Gzeira.
So when is the...
So the Shaila is many Rishonim learn, Rabbah, the Gemara says Rabbah made the Gzeira, but he didn't make it. He said he was the one that said it. It was all the way back. The Shaila is, if I'm not mistaken, is Machlekes in the Rishonim. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, did they do a Shabbos or not? Because Rabbah was the one that made the Gzeira, right? So the question is, did Rabbah make the Gzeira, or Rabbah just revealed it, so to speak, but it was really for years and years and years before? Like, you have Rashi's tefillin, yeah? Was it before Rashi they didn't put on tefillin? Before Rabbeinu Tam they didn't put on tefillin. I mean, they put on tefillin in the midbar yet. No, Moshe Rabbeinu's time they put on the tefillin. So you mean Rashi's tefillin? Because Rashi was the one that said it should be this particular way. Anyway, so he says like this. On the first day you need to take pre-Eitz Hodor, palm tree, vanaf kapis tamarim, Kapas to Gemara, the Gemara learns out, does not mean the date itself, but the branches of the date, which is a lulav branch. Vanaf Eitz Aveis is what we call the Hadassim, because it means they're called plated, in English it's called plated, because three leaves come out, you know, on the Hadassim, that three leaves come out of each one. And the Arvei Nochal and the brook willows. The Gemara learns out, by the way, Halacha Meshum Esina, that doesn't have to grow by a stream of water. It can grow here in your backyard. It's also good. The Torah just says that's what type of min we need that grows by the water, but it doesn't have to grow by the water. That's what the Gemara says. But again, I don't want to go into all the dinam of lulav and esrog because we're really going to never get out of here. Okay, but the Torah says you have to celebrate it. Chageisim Eisei, you need to celebrate it. Shivas Yamim for 7 days. Okay, so number one, we see from this pasuk, it cannot be borrowed. Just for the record, the Torah doesn't say anywhere you have to put them together. Okay? What does the Torah say, basically? The Torah says you take these four things. This that we tie, the lulav with the adasim and adavis, the Gemara learned is just, here the mitzvah looks nicer. So they're taking four loose things. Technically, according to halacha, yeah? If you have a loose lulav, a loose adasim, loose adavis, let's say you don't know how to put them together. Okay? You just have them. You have nothing to hold them. You take the four of them, put them together, you did the mitzvah. This that we tie the hadassim and adavis to the lulav, the Gemara says it's called hidden mitzvah, but it doesn't have to be part of the mitzvah. Okay.
If it's not connected, then we cannot say barakah.
No, it has to be connected, but it doesn't have to be tied. They don't have to be tied to the lulav. Now, to discuss a little bit.
It doesn't have any order.
Huh?
The 14th doesn't have any order.
Correct. Now, first of all, that's Kim Balatesis brings down, okay, a very interesting medrash. He said, what does it mean, lachem? You can't borrow a lulav, like we said, and you can't steal a lulav. So he brings down mashul lemelech. Okay, he said, what is this, a mashul to a king that sent a shliach to the city to collect his taxes? To collect taxes from the people, that the mass that they had to pay. The collector was going back home. A guy from the city grabbed him and took all his money. He took all the money that the guy collected for the king. The guy stole from him. One day, this city guy that stole the money had to go for judgment in front of the king. So he was looking to hire a lawyer. So he says, "Umata Eisa Gabai." The Gabai found the ganif that stole the money from him. He says to him, "Ma'ata Eisab Khan, what are you doing here?" He says, "I have a court case in front of the king and I'm looking for a lawyer." He says, "Had a plainish." 1 minute. So he says, you know what? He says, "Give me back what you stole from me and I'll represent you to the king. Give me back my money and I'll represent you to the king." So he says, "Lamacha ba'ladun lefnei ha'melech." Next day, he came, the ganef came for the. So he says, "Shaw the king asking, Yeshloch Adam Shiyomer Lachas Chus. Do you have any lawyer for yourself? Do you have any guy that's going to find favor?" He says, "Yeah, this gabai is going to find favor." Amalei, so the king said to the gabai, "Mas Chus Yeshloch Lumid Azeb. What merits can you say for this guy?" Amalei, he said, "Ani Amalechem, I'm going to tell you what this guy did to me." He said, "He stole all my money." And he says, "He stole all my money. He took all my money. And these kelim are the ones." So the guy says, Whoa, is to this guy who was such an advocate. In other words, that the prosecutor should become the defense attorney. So same thing Eibishter says, you want to steal a lulav and then come before me here? It doesn't work, Hashem said. So Hashem said, a lulav cannot be stolen or borrowed. Okay? And then he says, what's the inyan of a lulav? So I told you the Daskin Baltes says this is like the scepter, that when you used to go to a court case and you won out victorious, you would walk out with the scepter in your hand, the sharvit, to prove that you're right. The same thing in Yom Kippur, we all go to judgment, and they wish to judge us. In the lulav and the esrig, as everybody knows already, they represent different parts of the body. They represent different types of the Jews. The lulav is the spine. The esrig is the heart. The aravis are the lips. The hadassim are the eyes. It represents the whole spectrum of the person. We also know what the Medrash says. The esrig has a taste and a smell, and the lulav, the dates, only have a taste and no smell, and the hadassim have a smell and no taste, and the aravis have nothing, right? So what is this whole thing of the four minim? We take the Jew that has Torah and mitzvahs, and the Jew that has Torah and no mitzvahs, a Jew that has mitzvahs and no Torah, and a Jew that has none of the above, and we put them all together, and we're all together. Okay? This everybody knows, right? This is, for the kids know this. Now, what does it show? It shows the unity of the Bnei Yisrael. It shows the unity of the Bnei Yisrael. And it also shows that the Esrig, without the Arava, cannot do a mitzvah. Right? The hand tefillin and the head tefillin, I don't know if the women know this, the men I hope know this, the hand tefillin and the head tefillin are two separate mitzvahs. If you have only one, you only put on one. Okay? But Esrig, you have either the four things together, you're missing one, you can't do the mitzvah at all. So that means the Esrig, who has a taste and a smell, a person that has mitzvahs and Torah and Allah and everything, if he's missing the Arava that has no taste and no smell, he can't do the mitzvah. Okay, that's the simple meaning. To show the unity of the person. Okay? So now, you have a few things that need to be discussed here. Number one, there's a big difference between the mitzvah of Sukkah and the mitzvah of lulav and esrig. Okay, and there's a few differences here. Number one, the mitzvah of Sukkah begins at night. When is the obligation of sitting in the Sukkah? The first night of Sukkahs. When does lulav and esrig begin? Lokachtem lachem bayoyim harishin. It has to be during the day. Bayom. If you do the lulav and esrig at night, you didn't do the mitzvah. Why is that? Why is it that lulav and esrig begin in the morning and the Yom Tov and Sukkah begins at night? Then there's another halacha that the proper place to do the bracha on the lulav and esrig is in the Sukkah. Okay? That's in fact, it says in halacha like this. The truth is, we should bench lulav right before halal. Why do we do it before davening? He says, because the proper place to do it is in the Sukkah. You can't have the whole shul go out before halal. They won't come back to shul. Once Jews get out, especially if there's food in the Sukkah, for sure they're not coming back. So Torah says, the halacha says, you do it in the morning before davening. Is more important than doing it before halal. Okay? So to understand this whole concept of what's going on with Sukkah versus Lulav, both represent the unity of the Jewish people. Achdus. We mentioned last time, when a person goes into a Sukkah, your whole body, from head to toe, is in the mitzvah. Not like tefillin you do with your hand or your head or your mouth or your foot or your stomach, right? Sukkah, you walk into the mitzvah. Besides mikvah, it's the only mitzvah we learned that you go entirely into the mitzvah. What does the sukkah do? It unites the head to the toe. Therefore, the halacha is, it says later on in the pasuk, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshiv v'asukis, coming up in Pasuk Mem Beis, that all the citizens of the Jews should sit in the Sukkah, And the Gemara learns out from there, Ru'uyin kol Yisrael leiv shev b'sukkah achas. All Jews are fit to eat in one sukkah. From there, the Gemara learns out that the sukkah does not have to be yours like lulav and esrig, okay? But sukkah, you can't steal sukkah because any mitzvah you do by an aveir is not a mitzvah, but a sukkah doesn't have to be yours. Now, according to Allah, you can even walk into somebody's sukkah without permission and use it. Because we assume the guy doesn't mind that somebody does a mitzvah if there's no loss of money. Now, what is the... And lulav and esrig is also the concept of unity, of achdus. Okay? What's the difference? In Kabbalah and Chassidus it explains, there's what's called makifim, and there's pnimi. Literally, translating it literally, makifim are the surrounding superficial levels, and the pnimi is when you internalize it, when it comes internally. To give an example which we can understand in serving Hashem, the difference between makif and pnimi, internalizing something, you can have, as we learned many times, this famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachos, Ganva pun machtarta rachmana karya. A ganef, we learned this many times, a thief, when he's about to break into somebody's house, he's about to do a job for a living, an honest, decent living, he davens to Hashem, Hashem, please make me successful. That's what the Gemara says. You know what? When people do a crooked deal in business, they all go to shul and they daven, God, make me successful, I can rip the guy off as the good, you know, make a good job at it. So what happens? L'cha'eda, that's the Gemara. So Chassidus asks, the Gemara doesn't make sense, seemingly. Why? Because, obviously, the guy believes in God. Because he wouldn't believe in God, he wouldn't daven. Right? He wouldn't daven. If you don't believe in God, what are you going to daven for? And the guy obviously knows that he can't get caught. Because obviously he knows what he's doing is wrong. So why isn't this davening a contradiction within itself? It was called Sira Minei Obey. It should be a contradiction within it. Here he's davening, meaning he believes in God, and yet he's going against God. And he knows he's going against God. Okay? You don't have to go to the Ganav. The Ganav is a funny story. It's not a funny story. With all due respect to everybody in this room, I'm sure... Huh? No. I'm going to make it worse than that. With all due respect to the people in the room, to the people in the world, present company excluded, make everybody feel good. I'm sure once a year, somebody does a tiny Aveda. If not, what would you do on Yom Kippur? You'd be bored. Okay, so you do one Aveda a year. Now, at the time you're doing the Aveda, if at the time you're doing the Aveda, somebody would come to you and say, do you believe in God? You'd say, you slap him in the face. What do you mean? Of course I believe in God. So why are you sinning? If you believe in God, why are you sinning? At the time the person is sinning, stop him and ask him, in the middle of the good Lashon Hara, or the good whatever it is, ask him, excuse me, sidetrack, you believe in God? Of course, get out of here. And continue speaking Lashon Hara. So if you believe in God, why are you speaking Lashon Hara? Or why are you sinning? Why are you thinking, speaking, doing what you shouldn't be doing? So what's the answer? The answer is, the amunah that a Jew has is what's called superficial. Superficial means it encompasses you, it surrounds you, it affects you indirectly, but it doesn't affect you directly. Because if it would affect you directly, you wouldn't sin. Why are you sinning? You have the amunah. Why are you sinning? Because it's only indirectly affecting you. This level in Kabbalistic or Chassidic language, besides being called makifim, is called Seviv Kol Almin. Seviv Kol Almin is a level of godliness that surrounds the world. You have that within the human body also. When a neshama comes into a body and the person's alive, the soul is giving two types of life to the person. Number one, the soul comes into the body is alive. Number one, that the body is alive. In that respect, the head and the feet are equally alive. There's no difference between the head is more alive than the foot. It's not true. The foot and the head are equally alive. That's one type of life that the neshama gives to the body. Then the second type of life the neshama gives to the body, that the brain thinks, and the nose smells, and the eye sees, and the mouth talks, and the hand writes, and the feet go, and the stomach digests food and gains weight or whatever. These are all details of the way the neshama comes detailed into every part of the body. For that, you need to be a vessel. The eyes are a vessel for seeing. They're not a vessel for smelling. Right? Now, when the neshama comes into the body, the first level, because it's not penetrating each organ individually to function differently, it's coming into the body for the body to be alive. Over there, the head and the toes are the same. That chayis of the neshama is what's called seviv kol almin. It's encompassing. It's not directly affecting the head and the foot, because then the head is better than the foot, higher than the foot. In the second type of life, that the neshama permeates the body and functions direct, not indirectly, directly in the body, over there, based on the vessel that you have, that's what you're going to get. Okay? So the same thing is with emunah. Emunah, Jews are what's called maminim b'nei maminim. Jews are believers. Okay? In that, everybody believes the same. When you're talking about Avas Hashem, everybody is going off at the same time. It's a concert. This is Mamala Kol Almin. This is the permeating level. Everyone has a different ring. But, so this is a level that comes in the neshama. Yeah. The neshama comes in, functions detailed in the body. That's like, not the emunah, which is superficial, indirectly affects you. But this is the level of intellect and midas, avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, love of Hashem, fear of Hashem, that affect you in a direct way. Okay? So generally speaking, there are makifim levels, the encompassing levels, which are so great, they cannot permeate each level individually. It's above it all. And then there's a level of pnimi. Okay? I'm going to give you a few examples, because then we can understand what's going on here. For the men who put on talis and tefillin, okay? Why do you put the talis on first? First you put on talis, I don't know if the women know this, but first you put on the talis, and then you put on the tefillin. So it says in Halacha, why do you put the talis on first? Because there's a rule in Halacha, Tadir v'sha'ena tadir, tadir kaidim. More common, less, more frequent. Less frequent, you do the more frequent first. Talis we wear 7 days a week. Tefillin we wear 6 days a week. Shabbos we don't wear tefillin. So talis is more frequent than tefillin. So first you put on the talis, then the tefillin. Okay? Comes along Kabbalah and Chassidus and say there's a different reason. Yeah, that's also true. That's a true reason. But in a deeper sense, talis surrounds your body. Mm-hmm. That's the encompassing level. Mm-hmm. Makifim. Tefillin, you bind your mind and heart to God. You put on the hand next to the heart and the head next to the mind to show that you're binding your mind and heart to God. That's what's called the pnimi level. The mimalik, or the permeating level. That's internalizing the encompassing level. What's the ultimate goal of a Jew? To internalize emunah. When you internalize the emunah, then it affects you directly, you'll never come to sin. As long as it's only indirect, it's going to affect you, it won't affect you. You know, you'll be good, you won't be good. But when you internalize it, then it affects you permanently. So what happens by talis and tefillin? Talis are the encompassing level, and then you internalize that level through the tefillin. Okay, that's what it's all about. So therefore, what goes first? First comes the encompassing level, and then you come the internalization. Okay, so talis, then tefillin. What's the story with Sukkos? The night of the Yom Tov begins in the midst of Sukkos. What is the level of Sukkos? The encompassing level. The makif. The encompassing level. Lulav and Esrig is the internalization of the aspect of the Sukkah. And therefore, where do you bench Lulav and Esrig? Preferably in the Sukkah. Kabbalistically, in the Sukkah. Why? And that's why Sukkah begins at night and the Lulav begins in the next morning. First, you need the indirect encompassing level of unity by walking into the Sukkah. It unites the body, but it's not a direct unity. You walk in, automatically the Sukkah encompasses, the Sukkah surrounds you. When you take the Lulav and Esrig the next day, that internalizes the unity of the Sukkah, the four different types of Jews, the four different parts of the body, the four, whatever you want to consider it, that's the internalization of it, and that happens the next day.
If somebody don't use the Sukkah, it cannot, doesn't have what to internalize?
Well, how about anyway? That should be our worst problem, that we don't do it in the Sukkah. But this is the ideal concept of what the Yom Tov Sukkos is about.
Why we do it for one day, for first day, if you that?
Certain mitzvahs, Hashem said, once a year is enough. Certain mitzvahs, we need shofar, yeah? Hashem said, once a year is enough. Lulav, once a year is enough. Tefillin, you can't do it once a year. So. Tefillin, you need to do every day. Shabbos, once a week is enough. Every mitzvah has its time when it needs to be done, and that's when it gets done. Some mitzvahs need to be done daily. Some mitzvahs need to be done. Shema needs to be done twice a day. Some mitzvahs once a day. Some mitzvahs once a year. Some mitzvahs once a week, once a month, whatever the mitzvah is.
So this mitzvah is internal. If you are stronger,
the whole concept of Sukkos is to internalize the unity of the Jewish people. Now, but there's still a difference between Sukkah and Lulav and Esrig, in the unity. When you take the Lulav and Esrig, it's still four distinct things that you put together. It's how you walk into the Sukkah makes it all one. Lulav and Esrig, though, is you're taking a Lulav, and an Esrig, and a Dasim, and a Ravis, four types of Jews, and you're binding them together. They remain separate. They're separate entities. If you would somehow, weld, you know, with a fire, if you would weld the Lulav and Esrig and make it one mishmash, you're not Yetzer the Mitzvah. It has to be four distinct levels. Which shows a very interesting concept in Yiddishkeit. From one side, we're united. From the opposite side, we retain our own individuality. And that's what the Lulav is all about. And this is, by the way, a major issue in a Sefer Torah. You see these two opposite things in the dinim of a Sefer Torah. You can have a Sefer Torah, yeah? One letter missing, the whole Torah is not kosher. Which means all the letters are one. Right? Yet, if two letters touch, then it's not a kosher Sefer Torah either. If this was called a negiyah, if two letters in a Sefer Torah touch each other, the Sefer Torah is also not kosher. So again, it doesn't make sense. Here we're saying the unity of the Sefer Torah, that you need all the letters of the Torah, and if there's one letter missing, it's no good, and then you say each letter needs its base. Because this again is the same concept. There's unity, but each one needs their own space. their own identity. And the same thing, like we learned in a symphony, in art, the different colors blend together in harmony, in beautiful art, but each color is a different color. You don't take a can of paint and mix all the colors together. Mix them all together. Let's say you're going to use 10 colors on the picture. You don't take colors, mix them together in the paint, and then paint the wall, the picture. Each one needs its personal identity, and yet at the same time they're united. And that's the concept of the Lulav and Esrog. Lulav and Esrog is, there's unity amongst them, from the Esrog all the way down to the Arava. But at the same time, each one has its own identity. And the same thing, by the way, is with Jews. Hashem made distinct Jews, meaning no two Jews have the same mission. Everybody is different, but they're all the same. And this is, by the way, the concept of Yom Tov of Sukkot. Just like Rosh Hashanah, Atem Nitzavim Ayem Kochem, the Jews stand together. Sukkot is also the unity of the Jewish people. But again, not through seriousness, rather through simcha. Okay, so let's now see it inside. Okay, look, so this, okay, apparently Mem, we basically finished. Okay, so Mem Aleph. V'chageisim eisei chag laHashem, you should make it a celebration. Okay, you should make it as a Yom Tif. Shivas Yomim Bashana, 7 days in the year. There's one more thing. Okay, oh, we didn't, what am I jumping the gun for? No, we didn't finish the Lulav and Esrog yet. Okay, now, by the way, it's interesting, Balaturim says, there's a din that Lulav Hayavesh, if a lulav is dried out, it's not kosher. Because he says like this, lulav is the same numerical value as chayim. Chayim equals 68, lulav equals 68. And therefore he says if it's a dried out lulav, it's like a dead lulav, it's not chayim, it's not you. It's not chayim, you can't use it. And then he says like this, besides, okay, then you have a lot of other side issues. Why do we make a bracha on the lulav? If you think about it, the esrog is better than the lulav. The esrog has a taste and a smell, and the lulav has a taste. The dates. The esrog is more expensive. Less a shmita year, then you don't pay for the esrog, you're paying for everything else. But anyway, that's a separate story. But why do you make a bracha on the lulav? We don't even say lulav esrog. We say lulav and esrog. We should say, okay? So there's a lot of different answers in Allah. One answer is because the lulav has three things on it. Adasim, Nadovis, and the lulav. Esrog is only one. Secondly, the lulav is taller. Okay? But there's another reason it's brought down, that because lulav represents Torah, has a taste and no smell, that's the concept of Torah. So to give you a mashal, I think everybody will understand. When it's Torah exclusively, there's an advantage of that Torah even over the Esrog. And I'll give you a mashal that I understand very well, I'm sure everybody will understand it very well. You know, there's an ice cream called Neapolitan. Neapolitan is vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. And then you have vanilla ice cream. Now, the vanilla of Neapolitan, if you're a vanilla lover, it doesn't taste as good as the vanilla of vanilla ice cream. Even though it's vanilla, yeah?
I don't know.
I teach a bunch of ignorant people here. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, Tazay, you're a man after my heart. Okay, the men understand.
So, example is very superficial.
1 minute.
He didn't give you the example yet. How do you know?
Can I?
Better is not better. Right?
1 second. One second. Let me finish. When you have a mixture of a few things together, each one takes away from the exclusiveness of the other one. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? That's why, even when you go to a band, yeah? All of a sudden they make a solo, the trumpet, and the solo, this guy and that guy. Why? Because like this, it's lost in the mixture of everything else. When you have Esrig, which represents Torah and mitzvahs, it doesn't emphasize the aspect of Torah's chayim, which lulav equals chayim, Torah's chayim, as much as the Esrig does. And here we're representing the ultimate level of Torah, so therefore that is the level of Torah. In addition to the fact that it's brought down as far that the word lulav is loy lev, to him is a heart, which all represents, even though the lulav is this, what? To him, yeah. To him is our heart, or whatever it is. So it says all these things, represent what the arba minim is. Another thing Rashi says over here, kapis tamarim, right? L'cha'eda, kapis tamarim is plural. Why do we take one lulav if it says kapis tamarim, which is plural? So Rashi says because the pasuk has the word kapis without a vav. Normally the word kapis would be with the vav. Chav pei vav sof. The Torah writes it without a vav, that you read it kapas, singular. So from here the Torah teaches us you need one lulav. Pri eitz hadar is again singular, so there's one esrig. Right, that's why you have one esrig and one lulav. Anaf eitz avais, the arvei nochal, arvei is plural which means two, and anaf eitz avais is a whole machlekes in the Gemara, how many adasim do you need? You want two, three, whatever it is. But the minig is, we take at least three adasim, two adavis, and one lulav and one esrig, based on all these explanations of the pasuk. Okay, another thing, the Daskim Malatesis says, what's the uniqueness of the lulav? The esrig is the heart. The adasim are the eyes. The adavis are the lips. But the shedra, the spine, that's the whole body. The whole body is affected by the spine. So therefore, in that respect, the lulav, which represents the spine, is really the primary of all the four minim. Because the heart is an individual part of the body, right? It's like women like to say that the men are the head, but they're the neck. So the head goes where the neck turns. You know, women used to say that. They still do.
But they don't know the brain is moving the head.
What? Why do
you need separate?
What?
Why do you need just one lulav?
Because the other ones are plural, and these are singular.
But
no, kapas tamarim.
Without
the vav, it's singular. So therefore, it's only one.
When you pray, you say kapas tamarim or kapot tamarim?
You read it kapas, but it's written kapas.
Why? Who decided how many? Because we have specific
three. It's called God. Told Moshe Rabbein.
Oh.
There's another interesting medrash over here on the pasuk lekachtem lachem b'yom arishin. What do you mean b'yom arishin? So even though it simply means the first day of Sukkot, but the medrash says a beautiful medrash. It says rishin lachesh ben avinus. It's the first day of sins. First day of the year, the medrash said when you can start sinning. It says why? So the medrash says like this: Rosh Hashanah, who sins Rosh Hashanah? To 10 days of repentance, Yom Kippur, people don't sin. They're still serious. Between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, you're so busy building a sukkah, getting the lulav, you have no time to sin. So it says in Medrash, when is the first time you have time to sin? The first day of Sukkot.
Yeah.
So that's what it says, Lekachtem lachem, this is the Medrash, Lekach ben Aveinis, the Medrash says, Rishon Lekach ben Aveinis, okay, so that's the first day of the of the cheshbon of Aveiros.
The first day of the sukkah you make a lulav and etrog, you make a bracha.
You still find plenty of time to sin.
You go afterwards. Inside. Afterwards.
How long does it take to bench lulav?
I'm not going to give in to your guilt for this thing.
It's a medrash, not doing.
And the women are cooking. Exactly. You have no time.
He's
to
talking
sin.
About the men. The men.
The women never sin.
Always men.
Women never sin. You're talking about the men who sin. So until sukkah, they don't have time to sin.
Yeah, they're building sukkah.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
Good. You'll take it. Okay. As long as everybody's happy, fine. What? Okay, Mitzvah. Oh, next week, there's no class.